Good morning and welcome, everybody. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear is an important thing. Out there in the world, it helps keep us safe, right? You see a car coming, you say, uh-oh, run out of the way. But a proper placed fear is paramount to each and every one of us. I mean, fear can cause us to act in different ways, like running out of the way of that car, or even just paralyzing us where we don't know what to do. We can't do anything. We're just stuck. See, God and the devil, they use fear in different ways, right? Proper fear of the Lord, you can lay down your life and serve Him in the way that He wants you to serve Him. Now, with that fear of the Lord, Him, knowing that we're going to be afraid of other things in our lives, He wants to relieve our fears. He wants to take those off of us. Devil, on the other hand, he'll make you feel secure in your pride, in your sin. Make you feel like you got it, like you're doing it right. And then, at some point, he'll overrun you with fear. He'll pile it right on you. Push you right down where you don't have hope. But the only rightly placed fear, as I said, is the fear of God. Now, many people who turn to Christ are fearful. Some are just fearful of hell, like, oh man, that doesn't sound good. I don't want to go there. Well, how do I get out of it, you know? Oh, I'll go to Christ, you know? Hopefully that isn't the only reason. You see what I'm saying? But in that sort of scenario, we have a tendency to picture God as, you know, that kind old grandfather. He's a nice guy. He just hangs out. He'd never send me to hell. It doesn't matter what I do, right? I mean, he's like grandpa. I mean, that's not the case. Flip over to Matthew 10. I'm just going to read 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We must properly fear God, knowing that He is the one to decide our fate. He's the one that's going to make that decision. Eternal life or hellfire? I mean, when we get to the point, I mean, that point where we realize who we need to please, and that's Him, and not ourselves, then we're in a place where we can serve Him and please Him and be free of all those other fears in Him. If we reject God, we're going to cut ourselves off from the only thing, the only true source of knowledge, of love, and of power. We may think in our own eyes and in our own minds that we got it, that we're doing this right. But we're foolish if we don't fear the Lord. When the fear of God's the only fear that removes all the other fears, that's the only fear that opens up His blessings to you. That's the only fear that helps you to overcome all that is set before you. I mean, as we cast all our cares upon Him, we're able to become fearless. Amen? In that place, we're free to serve Him as He would have us serve Him. Free to move forward in Him. Free to show others His love, to share with them what God's done for you, to show them the way out of that prison of fear. But without all those fears of the world, and where our only fear is that fear of God, and whether or not we have pleased Him this day, we can be truly free indeed. Amen?
Well, good morning, everybody. That was a weird way of doing it, wasn't it? You know, praise the Lord. And one of the things that He said was, and we talked about last week, was casting all your care upon Him. And I can tell you, just from, you know, we're kind of going over Bible study with Kat last night, and just from that, from talking with that, you know, I realized that how much place I give. In that place, how much I give way too much heed to this old carnal man. Way too much. I mean, we had a sermon last week that was preached to us by Davey about it not depending on our faith, but the faith that God had in Himself. Now, how beautiful is that? How freeing is that? I mean, to me, that's like a weight lifted off my shoulder. Because my faith, oh my gosh. I'm one way one day, or one way one minute, one way the next. Don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or perform that or get through that situation. But it ain't about my faith. It was about His faith and what He has done. You know, I want to go to Romans. Romans 6. I think I'll start actually in 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I am so glad it went down the way it went down. Many, you hear it many times. Oh man, dang it, Adam. If you didn't eat of that tree, man, dang it. I wouldn't have to work every day and have this curse, grow and die. But I say more than fair. Because if I was in Adam's shoes and it was based upon me, I couldn't have done it. Eventually, I would have ate of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And if it was based on me going and doing that to save myself, I would be doomed. So praise God, He came and did it for us. And He's the only one that could have. So I say, praise God, hallelujah. And I like that part. Moreover, that the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I remember listening to Scott Stevens one time. And as Scott was going forward in his walk, what had happened is he didn't realize how messed up he was. You know, he received the Lord and it was all joy, clappy, clappy, praise God. You know, but then the Lord starts to reveal some things in his heart. And things start to be revealed. And you know, he thought he was going one direction, but he realized that how wrong he was. And how much stuff he had not let go. You hear, listen to Steve, as Steve was talking about how, man, he would never miss a Bible study, man, and it didn't matter. Rain, sleet, or snow, he was going to get there. And he thought in his mind that, man, he was all about it. But what the Lord had showed him was all that was pride. That all that was pride. And when he saw that, he was like, oh my goodness, I'm doomed. And then, you know, Davey, I think there was a revival going on or something, and Davey still had him lead praise and worship during that time. But in spite of all that stuff, look, grace still was upon him. The grace of God was still with him. The grace of God was still with Scott. And the same goes with us. The grace of God was still with us. Working with us. You take Peter. We were talking about Peter. Yet he had some things that were not right. Getting stuck between the law and the faith in Jesus Christ. But the grace of God was still with Peter, and at the end he got it. Shows how faithful the Lord is and how loving and kind He is. But I want to continue on. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Look, when we recognize that, man, what I have been doing is out of pride and unbelief, and you see that, do you go and continue in that? No. No, you'll repent. You change your mind. You turn it around. It's something for you, something else for you to cast all that on Him. And have Him take it away from you that you may be free. That you may be free. Because He doesn't want that baggage. You to have that baggage. He doesn't want you to be bound up in that. Because if we choose to remain in that, it's going to take us to hell. And He doesn't want that for us. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Man, we have that old man. We don't have to listen to it anymore. Man, you staple that thing to the cross. That's what he died for. By what he has done, what he has accomplished. See, he won the battle. He won the war. And there's victory, a victorious path for us to go walk in. All we have to do is go and choose and walk in that victorious path that he set. And we don't have to listen to that old man anymore. You know, we looked at talking about we ought to walk as Jesus walked. Where did Jesus walk? He did the Father's will. He did the Father's will. We can do the same. That's the opportunity that He laid out before us when He died on that cross and was resurrected in power. That we may do the same. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. He defeated death. He defeated death not for just Himself. No, He did it for us. And when we're talking about fear here, Scott was talking about fear. What chokes the Word of God? The cares of this life. The cares of this life. How are we going to eat? Who's going to provide for us? Man, the situation's too big. What are we going to do? See, that's the fear of the world, of the enemy, trying to get you off course of Jesus Christ and His victory. And we take that and we throw that thing down. We give no place unto it because of what He has done. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. This isn't a bondage thing. This is a freeing thing. What did He say up there on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. Don't let this old number one uno numero enemy, ourselves. Don't listen to that old man anymore. You're free of him. We sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. Man, if you find, we need to practice that through our daily walk, through our daily lives. We're hitting situations, we're hitting things that are just seem to be well overwhelming for us. And they probably are. Because we can't do it in our own strength, and they are. I know Brad has a situation at work way too overwhelming for him. Now he can listen to that and do sometimes, he says, and so do I, Brad. But look, or we can listen to Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. And knowing what He has done and what He has accomplished and what He's able to do in that situation now, because He is alive and He's here among us and He's working right now. He reigns. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For as the same way, man, I tell you, when I was out and that old man was on me, man, you know what I sought to do? And I sought to do was to please myself, man. I went to go out to do and to numb the pain that was going on, and that was my number one goal. To get it to stop. And the same way that I yielded unto that, I need to yield unto the Lord. Yield unto His victory. Yield unto His Spirit. And there's many ways of doing that. Many ways of doing that. It's surrounding us. And it's a beautiful, marvelous thing. Like Davy said, God did not call us here to fail, but to succeed. And as the Lord chastened the disciples when He was here on the earth because of the hardness of their heart and because of the unbelief, I need to be doing that with myself. When I start listening to that old man or the lies of the enemy, man, I need to reject that, rebuke it, cast it down, put it under my feet, because it has no more dominion over me anymore or you anymore. See, that's what we need to be about. It's an awesome thing. We're called to be in His army as a soldier. And we're on an army that has already won. Already won the war. Let's go take that victory. Just like the children of Israel took that promised land. Amen.
You know, a lot of them are thinking, we've heard it said that we have our, when we come to the Lord, we have a measure of faith, but we've committed that faith to things that don't help us. We have, you know, faith in the government and faith in our ability to keep that bank account ahead of poverty. These things are true. But I saw a similarity this morning with fear. Fear in things that are unprofitable while we don't take the Lord serious. That would be profitable. We fear government. We fear all the little minions and circumstances that the enemy can bring on us, or that our own attention to our old man, our carnality, drives us into situations that drive fear, feed fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, what knowledge? Knowledge of the Lord and His ways. What was the deal with Moses? Moses, will you learn my ways? Knowledge you know, you have a little bit of description here of Jesus and His ministries. It's four books. Then you have a book that details the apostles' ministries. And then all the rest of the books, the epistles of the New Testament, are about teaching you, to giving you the acquisition of knowledge of the Lord and His ways. In our natural state, are very prideful. Knowledge puffs up, and you know, we get real proud of ourselves. But this knowledge is the knowledge of the Father. This is the knowledge that will deliver us to His kingdom, profitable for Him. Members of His hosts. And it's like we went in Timothy Thursday night. I am persuaded that He is able to deliver me. To keep that which I've entrusted to Him against that day. And I butchered that. I know in whom I believed and am convinced that He's able to keep that which I committed to Him against that day. What have I committed to Him? I've turned my life over to Him. And I'm absolutely persuaded that He is able to deliver me all the knowledge and all the provision that I need to get to the day when I can finally go to meet Him in the heavens. How I get there is immaterial. And I don't really mean to say that. It is material. Because my journey to there is going to be one, you know, of learning and ministering until the end. And there's a, you know, a description in Thessalonians of us going to meet Him in the air. What I meant was by that, actual way that works, I don't need to know that. I don't need to know the natural forces and all that kind of stuff. I don't need to know that. But what I need to know is that He has committed to me and I have committed to Him. And I may be a screwball, but He is faithful. And part of that knowledge is that I know that He has provided us with His grace and His mercy, so nothing can separate us from Him. not even be a screwed up, disobedient jerk can separate us from Him if we repent and come back on our knees to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Then you become a partaker of His grace afresh. It doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, you go through Romans 5 and 6. Romans 5 and 6, great. Because if you don't understand the process, Paul describes the process. Now, you don't have to be perfect in your knowledge of the process. All you have to do is be trusting in the perfection of Jesus Christ, who did this all for us. He walked this walk. He did it first. It can be done. He conquered death. He yet reigns. He's alive. We're not following some dead God. We're following a living Savior and Lord. And our purpose, at least while we're here, is to act and live and work in His place. Because He's in heaven. That's why we need to have that knowledge. Need to know how He works in order to be able to do what He does. Enable us to walk as He walked. There's choices we have to make, and then there's just stands we have to take. I'm a poet and I don't know it. And the stands you take are the choices you make. Oh, God, help me. I think I'm turning into Jesse Jackson.
Hey,
John,
brother.
You know, He's better to me than I deserve. And He's faithful even when I'm not. And that's all you need to know about Him. He hung on the tree to save your sorry behind and give you an opportunity to serve Him and learn His ways and to please Him and to receive His righteousness because yours won't work. And that's what you exchanged when you gave Him your life. He gave you a promise that you can receive an inheritance. Receive Him. Receive the inheritance. And trust that He is able to keep you until that day. Done.